Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. That song put everything in a nutshell. Likewise, there's many places in Scripture where a certain principle, if adhered to, would solve incredible amount of problems. And it kind of puts it in a nutshell. How many of you pray? How many of you have ever wondered, is somebody listening? What is the courtroom of heaven thinking about my prayer? And so we're going to talk about prayer this morning. It says here, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end. There's no question about what the end of this parable is for. There's no question about the purpose. It says, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Say that with me. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Say it again. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is the end of the parable. And when it says men, I can prove that it also means women, because the very example he goes to is a woman, a widow. It means all of us, okay? So, we're going to read through this, and then we need to talk about it. The first eight verses there. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God and neither regarded man. He didn't care what God thought and he didn't care what man thought. He wasn't motivated by the love of God. He wasn't motivated by a love for man. And there was a widow being probably the most harmless, helpless, most apt to get trampled, forgotten, and least likely to be taken care of. As far as an unjust judge, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Obviously, she's not asking for revenge. She's asking for justice. She's saying, deliver me from the one doing me an injustice. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, if you were praying for something, and you had prayed and prayed, and you wondered if God was listening, does God know where I'm at? Maybe you're the persecuted person sitting in a dungeon somewhere. Maybe you're on trial in a Muslim country. Maybe you're in China. Maybe you're the missionary on a lonely mission field, and you're praying, and you're wondering, is there anybody in heaven listening? Wouldn't it be comforting if an angel showed up and said, look, I've been in the courtroom of God. I've been in the throne room. And your prayer is being considered. Keep praying. I've been in the throne room. I've heard the discussion. They're talking about your prayer. Keep on praying. Mm-hmm. Boy, wouldn't that be a shot in the arm?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be motivating? Wouldn't that encourage you? I got something better than that. I've got something better than that. Who are you praying to? Jesus, the Lord, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he's God.
Right.
Jehovah in the flesh, that's who Jesus was. Who's the one that's going to answer your prayer?
Jesus.
The one that's telling us this.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is saying this is the one who is answering your prayers. The one who's telling you this is the one to whom you are praying. And that's better than an angel in the throne room of God, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the very person who's going to be answering your prayer. You've got God in the flesh. You've got some inside information here. He's saying, listen to me. I can't explain it all to you. I'm not going to tell you everything that's going on, but this I'm going to tell you. Keep praying. You know, when I was at college and I met my wife, Sister Angela, it was really handy to have a sister at college at the same time. Because I could get some inside information, okay? It was really, I'd say, hey, I want you to see how she keeps her dorm room. Is it a mess? Is it clean? Yeah. You know, I want to know something about this girl. It's great to have inside information. I think this would qualify for some really good inside information.
Yeah.
The one who is answering prayer. The one to whom we're looking to. The one that we're wondering, are you listening? The one that we're wondering, have you taken up my case? Mm-hmm. He's saying this parable to this end. What was it? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Say it again. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in order for him to make his point, he gives us a scenario, okay? In order to make this point, there was in a city a judge, okay? He's a judge. We're praying to the judge of all the earth. We're wanting him to deliver us. We're wanting him to bring justice. We're wanting a verdict. We're wanting something declared from the judge of the earth, the one who can say, do this and it's done. Let there be light and there's light. The one who can speak the word and our concerns will be taken care of. He's a judge. So he gives us this example of an unjust judge. Why? We'll see in a minute. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about right and wrong. He didn't care about just and unjust. He loved himself. He didn't worship God. Fear God means to worship God, to love God, to want God's kingdom. He didn't care about any of that. He didn't regard man. He was in a position, he didn't have to worry about the votes. He didn't have to worry about the polls. He's like these bureaucrats in Washington. They don't have to worry about elections. They do whatever they please, and no one can seem to get rid of them. That was what this guy was. He had people in all the right places. He knew that the DOJ was not going to mess with him. He knew the FBI was going to stick up for him. The CIA, they were in his back pocket. He had nothing to worry about. Too often the case. And there was a widow, a little widow. What's she going to do? She came to him saying, "Sir, I need you to deliver me from an unjust situation. You are the judge. I'm a helpless widow. This is your responsibility. Avenge me of mine adversary." And he's like, he likely for the sake of the worship that he wanted from his court, and he probably said, "Yes, we will look into that." You know, the typical politician, "We're looking into it." Every time you hear one of them asked about an important question, "Oh, it's being looked into." You said that 10 years ago. It's being looked into, right? Okay, this is what we're dealing with here. He's a good Democrat. Anyways, we'll stop there. But we'll look into it. He would not for a while. She kept coming back. "Sir, you said you would look into it. Sir, I have this situation. It's not just. It's not according to the laws. Sir, I need you to take this up and deal with this. It's not according to your laws. It's wrong. Would you deliver me? Would you avenge me of my adversary?" "We're looking into it." Next day, the guy comes in to the judge. "Judge, Your Honor, there's someone here to see you." He's like, "You're kidding. Is it?" He said, "It is." "Her? Yeah." "Again? Yeah." "Okay. Yes, ma'am." "Sir, Your Honor, it's not according to the laws. It's unjust. It's not right. Would you avenge me of mine adversary?" "We're looking into it, ma'am." After she leaves, he's like, "What am I going to do?" It says here, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. The word weary me means she's wearing me out. It actually is some of the same terminology Paul uses when he's talking about, I'm not one that beats the air, but I beat my body and bring it into subjection. It's boxer language. It has to do with giving someone a black eye. Obviously, he's not scared of her, okay? Obviously, he's not worried about her beating him up. But the idea is, she's wearing me out. Because this widow keeps coming. She keeps asking, I'll avenge her. Take care of that widow. I don't want to see her again. Somebody go take care of this. And it gets taken care of. Now, you say, how is that analogy going to fit what Jesus is saying? What does he say? Hear. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear. Hear what the unjust judge saith. What did he say? He said, even though I don't care about right and wrong, even though I don't care about this woman, even though I don't fear God, even though I'm in love with myself and all I care about is what makes me happy, yet because of her continual coming, she's wearing me out, I'm going to do what she asked me to do. So what Jesus is saying, even him, even that guy answered her prayer because she kept praying. And shall not God, okay, what's the point here? He's saying this is an unjust judge, but God's a just judge. Mm-hmm. What is God saying to us? He didn't care about her, but I care about you.
Right.
He didn't care about right and wrong, but I do care about right and wrong. He wasn't concerned about the injustice, God says, but I am concerned about the injustice. Okay? She was a widow. He didn't care about a widow. I care about widows. But because she kept praying, he gave her the answer. And shall not God, the just judge, the caring judge, the one who knows your case, the one who loves you, the one who is concerned about right and wrong, the one who is the opposite of this guy, shall not God avenge his own chosen, his own children, the ones he died for, the one he shed his blood for? Shall not God? Now, what's the end? What was the end of this parable? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Say it again. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. What is the Lord saying to us? He's the one we're praying to. He says, children, I'm going to tell you a story. The purpose of this story is that you keep praying and don't quit. Keep praying and don't quit. Keep praying and don't quit. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Now notice, always to pray, cry day and night. Those are synonymous. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. They ought always to cry day and night. And then it says, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. How's that fit? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Well, it's important that we understand his terms here. When God says, this guy would not for a while. In other words, he would not take her case. God said, I'm not like that. I will readily, speedily, quickly take your case. I want to take your case. I care about your case. I'm going to take it up immediately, and I'm going to begin working on it right away. Now, he also says that it will be taken care of according to what I deem appropriate. In my time frame, ASAP, as soon as possible in God's realm of appropriateness. Now understand, there's a number of places in Scripture where it talks about this speed. We'll get to that in a minute. And we're going to understand what God's talking about when he says that. In Psalm 27:12, it says, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." And then it says this, and this is what we're talking about. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait means keep coming. Wait means crying day and night. Wait means like this widow. She waited on that. You know what? What was her option? Men ought always to pray and not to. That was her option. But what would have happened? He was her only hope. He was her only source of vindication and deliverance. In Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He's teaching to this end. Jesus gave us this parable to this end. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. He comes to the Father. He comes to the Father who's trying to raise up a family. He comes to the Father who's trying to support his home. He comes to the Father who's concerned about his son. He's concerned about his daughter. He comes to the Father who's bearing a heavy load. The Father who feels like fainting, who feels like quitting, who feels like compromising. Jesus said, "Pray and don't quit. Pray and don't quit." He comes to the mother. There's a mama. Her health is, she had health struggles. She has homeschooling weight, the laundry, the dishes, the food, the rearing of these children. It becomes a heavy load. God says, keep on praying and don't quit. Well, you could quit. You could faint, but then what? Mm-hmm. So you faint. Then what? You've just dismissed your attorney. You've just abandoned your only hope. Oh yeah, you could faint. You could quit. He says to the husband, to the wife, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He's talking to you young men and you young ladies. You will face times in life when you know down deep inside, I've got two choices. I can keep on praying, or I can give in. You say, "Brother Mark, you make it sound like this is the cure for every problem in life." It is the cure for every problem in life. Amen. Brother Mark, you make it sound like if we stop crying to God day and night that we've lost faith. If you stop crying to God day and night, you've lost faith. You fainted. You've quit. If you stop calling out to God and waiting upon the Lord and looking to the Lord and going forward, trusting God and praying for God, avenge me of my adversary. God, deliver me. God, make a way. God, pay the bills. Then you fainted. Mm-hmm. Where you're sitting right now today, if you've compromised, it's because you stopped crying out to God. If you've yielded, it's because you've stopped crying out to God. If you've fainted, if you've quit, if you're not now today in your life daily crying out to God day and night, calling upon the Lord, seeking his face, going forward in faith, then you've quit. You need to repent. You need to say, "I believe God's a just judge. I don't believe he's like that guy. I believe he cares. He's not like the picture of that man who feared not God and regarded not man and just only answered prayer when it got under his skin and became a pain in the neck and take care of that woman. Do you believe God is that way? Then why'd you stop praying? Do you believe your Heavenly Father operates that way? Then why'd you quit? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. There have been many times in my life when going forward seemed impossible. The only way to go forward was on my face before God. I remember. And it's interesting how in life, those times become more intense as you mature. God promises He's not going to put on you more than you can bear. That means whatever it is, whatever the block wall, whatever the impassable chasm, whatever it is, God has said that you could pray your way through and not faint. You can continue to pray your way through. You don't have to faint. You don't have to quit. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to back up.
Right.
As a young man, I gave my life to the Lord at 15 years of age with the aspiration of doing big things for God, building a big church like Brother So-and-so and Brother So-and-so and reaching thousands of people and doing something big. I thought about going to a mission field. Every time I went to Bible college, different colleges, I majored in missions. What does God want me to do? I want to do something big for God. I worked as a youth pastor for a while and then planted a Baptist church from scratch in Peoria, Illinois. Started from scratch. Rented this little room, passed out flyers, knocked door, hundreds of doors, inviting people. Started from scratch. Got Angela's parents to come, who were out of church at the time. And the first few services, it was myself, my wife, Micah as a baby, and her mom and dad. And I preached there with as much fervor as I'm preaching right now. I determined it didn't matter if there was nobody out there but my wife, I was going to preach God's word with make it what it ought to be. Amen? Then there came the day we had a building. We were running three buses. We had morning service, Sunday school. We had regular church service. After church, we'd get our sack lunch, jump on the buses. We'd go pick up children all over Peoria in the projects. And we'd bring them back and have B Sunday school at 2:30 in the afternoon. Fill the building with all these bus kids, and I'd preach to them. And then we'd go take them all home on the buses. And that night, we'd come back, and the church would gather again. We were all tired from working hard all day, and I'd preach to them again. And before that Sunday started, I drove 200 miles on a job I had at night. And that Sunday night, I drove 200 miles again on that job, passing out Peoria General Star bundles in Hartsburg and Lincoln and Emden and San Jose. And it's supposed to be San Jose, by the way, but they call it San Jose. That's Illinois. But all those little towns, I ran myself ragged. We started a church. We had big days of over 300 people there. As I was studying my Bible, wanting to be a good shepherd, a good pastor, wanting to ground my people in the faith, I started a big notebook called The Whys of Our Position. Why we believe this and why we believe that. And oh, I had already in my youth come across the loose ends in Baptist doctrine, things that contradict, things that don't fit, things that you try to look in their commentaries, they avoid it, and now I know why. As I studied more and more, I began to realize something is bad wrong with this foundation. I've been giving my whole life to it for about 11, 12 years. Big names, big colleges, big organizations, and there's some major cracks in their doctrinal foundation. As a young man, I wanted to quit. I was not going to preach error knowingly. I was not going to tell people something that I knew the Word of God really didn't back up. But the theology book, what they do is they go and they sit in the class and they go through these theology books, and the theology books befog them with all these big words and concepts and make them feel like this is really valid. And they actually become more loyal to the theology book than the words of God in the Bible. The same with every doctrinal system that's an error. They become more loyal to a system, a narrative, than what the Bible actually says. And I determined before the Lord, when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't give my life to be a Baptist. I didn't give my life to be a denominational yes man. I gave my life to Jesus. And when I was reading and studying, I just wanted to quit. It's like, Lord, I don't know how I can go forward in this situation. Because my foundation had been jerked out. What am I supposed to do? I've been building this church. All these people are here. I baptized most of them. I'm a young man. I'm in my 20s. And now I'm seeing clearer and clearer that the theology I've been taught is wrong. I don't know where to go. Who out there is right? What denomination is right? There's things here that are wrong. And I know they're wrong because I can read English. And I believe God's words over man's words. And I search all their commentaries. I confront them face to face. I bring them questions. I say, what about this? And I hear their answers and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have an answer. Your books don't have an answer. What am I supposed to do? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I spent many an hour walking up and down an old country road between the cornfields, crying and praying, crying out to God day and night, Lord, I don't know what to do. I could have quit. I thank God today I did not quit.
Amen.
There's going to be times in your life when you're going to forget what you heard this morning, but you dare not forget it. The Master, the Lord, said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's two options. You're going to go one way or the other. You're going to go on praying or you're going to faint. Then what? Paul said in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Forget a little while. Little while? Oh, the preterist says, yeah, a little while, AD 70. Read the rest of the Bible, Joe. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Yeah, they told Habakkuk a little while too, right? But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul, the ones who keep on praying. In Revelation 6, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Who are these people? We're going to find out. And for the testimony which they held, and they cried. These are the ones who kept crying. They're still crying. With a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Listen. They had been crying. They didn't faint. They get martyred. They're even under the throne of God and they're still crying. Why? That characterized their whole faith. Mm. And what was said? And white robes were given unto every one of them. You want one of those white robes? You keep crying. Amen. And it was said unto them, and they, that they should rest yet for a little season. A little while. A little while. You say, Brother Mark, how can you say that? It's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years compared to eternity is a little while. If God says in 2,000 years, we're going to totally upend the whole universe, have judgment day, all the sinners are going to go to hell, all those who made it through, overcome, the saints, they're going to heaven and then eternity. That little span of time, it's no doubt, he said, a little while. No wonder. A little while, and he that shall come will come. It will be a little while because, you know, when I was growing up, I thought I would never grow up. I thought I would never get big enough to drive. I'll never get married. I mean, that's way out there. If my parents had said, it won't be long at all. It's just going to be a little while, and you'll be married and have children. It won't be very long at all, and you'll be a grandpa. I'd have said, yeah, right. But from this end, looking back, it didn't take very long at all. From the light of eternity, it was very just a speck of time. So understand God's time frame. Yeah. The Bible tells us the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Why is he telling us that? Because when God says, it's going to be a little while, you might go through your whole life crying and praying and waiting for God. You might be under the throne of God crying and praying, saying, how long, O Lord? And he's still going to say, a little while. That they should rest for a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. But then listen to the rest of this. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? You want me to answer that question? Who shall be able to stand? The ones crying? The ones that have been crying? The ones that prayed and never fainted? They cried to God day and night. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge? Dost thou not deliver us? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, day and night, on and on and on. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. These people, the only ones who will stand when the great day of his wrath is come, and when it comes, it'll seem like the history before that was a speck of time. The whole 6,000 years of earth's history will seem like a snap of the fingers. When that great day comes and we're all standing before God, the multitudes are standing there giving account to God. Oh, this happened fast. Yeah. Jesus spoke this parable to this end. To what end, Jesus? What are you trying to tell us? Keep praying. Don't faint. I'm not like that judge. I'm not like that guy. I know your case. I care about your case. I care about right and wrong. I took up your case the first time you brought it to me. I took it up. I've been working on it. Keep praying. In James 5, verse 4, it says to the rich men, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Injustice. Wrong done. And James said, the cries have entered into his ears. He's taking up the case. He's their advocate. He's quickly taking the case. He's already working on it. He says to the rich men, "You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just. And he doth not or cannot resist you. He has no defense on earth." But someone is taking up his case. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the Lord, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it." What are you telling us, Jesus? Keep praying. Don't faint. I'm working on it. I've taken up your case. I know all about it. I'm working on it. I'm doing everything that is appropriate at this time. When it's all said and done, you will have perfect justice. There will be justice done. All the wrongs will be righted. And you'll be so glad that you didn't lose faith in me as your attorney, as your judge, as your advocate. You'll be so glad that you kept praying, crying day and night. Because if you'd stopped, I stopped. If you'd have quit, I'd have quit. You stop asking, I stop working on your case. You listening to me? The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. What makes it precious? What's going on while you're praying? That's what makes it precious. Hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. He's waiting on something. He's working on something. There's a reason why your prayer has not been answered yet. You haven't had been avenged yet. It will come. It will come. God will do it as soon as possible. Until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. God is patient. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That word draweth nigh is also translated at hand. The forms of word where he says speedily, I come quickly, it's at hand. It's all the same idea. A lot of them are the same words translated differently. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You say, Brother Mark, James said that in AD 42, 45, somewhere, you know, in that range. Yeah. Before you know it, it'll be 2045 if the Lord tarries. So, in the light of eternity, a day is with the Lord 1,000 years, that's 2 days. My wife's health broke after the birth of Titus. As a young father, I had left the Baptist denomination. We had searched the scriptures. I was understanding more and more what the true gospel was, what the true grace of God was, what God really meant. And we were seeking and searching, trying to establish a first century biblical church. And my wife's health broke. I had a string of little ones. She was the homeschooler, the mother. It got to the point where she couldn't even hold her baby. She lost 50 pounds, I think it was, that she didn't have to lose. I didn't feel like going on. I had a choice. I could either quit or I could pray. I could either quit or I could keep crying to God. Amen. You're going to be there someday if you haven't already been. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're going to see it again, likely. There's going to be times in your life when you wonder, should I keep praying? Now, obviously, there's things that God says no to. No, don't go that way, go this way. We're talking about whether or not you keep crying to God waiting for his direction, crying for deliverance, crying for direction, crying for answers, or whether you quit. You should be able to be guided and directed, but don't quit. Jesus prayed to his last breath. There's your example right there. He prayed, prayed, prayed until his last prayer was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Stephen's last prayer was, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." You're going to pray to the last breath, or you're going to compromise, or you're going to quit, or you're going to give in, or you're going to wax cold. You're going to grow cold. You're going to lose faith. Those are your two options. Because we couldn't homeschool, we came over to this Brookfield area. There was a little Mennonite school. It's like, we can't homeschool. I've got to make a living. I can't homeschool and make a living and take care of my wife. Hannah was just a little girl. She was mama's big helper. Thank God we had some children who were old enough to help with the other ones. We came over here. Okay, here's a ray of hope. Here's a ray of light. We put the children in the school. We started going to the church. I got a signal from God, because the very day we moved over here, they had a business meeting, and it turned out to where they voted to go with a different oversight group, and it totally shut the door where they could not receive members until that was settled. Okay, God, are you telling me something? I think maybe you are. We were here, children were in the school for a year. We were here, a part of that church. We could never apply for membership while we were there, according to their program. But we got to see and watch. Angela's health began to recover. Thank God, during that year, her health recovered enough, and we saw enough that we said, "Okay, Lord, we can't stay here. We couldn't stay in the Baptist church. We can't stay in this one either. What do we do?" Some people say, "Well, yeah, I used to go to church, but I got hurt. Yeah, I used to stand up for what was right, but I got hurt." You fainted. That little widow didn't faint. She's dealing with an unjust judge. She's got more gumption than you got. You know why Jesus told the story of a little widow and an unjust judge, a gruff, mean, uncaring judge? Because if she could keep praying when he was the judge, you can keep praying when God's the judge. Amen. When we left the Mennonites, we knew there was nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. We're stepping out on our own. Starting a church from scratch is one thing. Starting a denomination is another. When I started a church from scratch, I could pass out the books from these denominational men. I could send the young people to their colleges. I could invite special speakers to come and speak. We had a big group to where, even though I was in my 20s and this was a small church, people knew that it wasn't just me. It was this whole group. And when they came to the church and liked their preacher, they felt comfortable, because after all, we got this guy's book and this guy's book and this guy's book, and that's our college, and we could take the kids up there for a youth conference. But when you start in no man's land, you don't have any of that. What are you going to do? You could compromise. There's a lot of people who are going to hear my voice, who are in a church that they know is not doctrinally sound, but it's like, that's the only where to go. What else are we supposed to do? You compromise for error. You're putting your money in the offering plate. You're supporting error. Why don't you start crying and praying to God? Quit feigning. Quit compromising. Quit quitting. Start praying. Start seeking God. Get some answers. You will either cry day and night for God's deliverance, cry day and night for God's power, cry day and night for God's wisdom, or you will quit, you will compromise, you will become an eternal victim of whatever that injustice was, because you abandoned the only one who was going to do you justice. You abandoned the only one who was going to bring you out on top. You abandoned the one that was working all of the injustice together for your glory and your good. All things work together for your good. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. God says, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You don't understand what I'm doing. You can't see what I'm doing. Someday you will. Someday you're going to see what I was working on while you were praying. Mm-hmm. When you quit, you cut off your only hope. Amen. He spake a parable unto this end. Who's speaking? The Almighty. The Almighty has something to tell you this morning. He gave us a story for one purpose. That men ought always to pray and never faint. Never faint. Well, Lord, why? Because I'm not like that guy. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, why? Because I've taken up your case. I'm working on it like nobody else can work on it. I've got big plans. Someday, you're going to be handed a white robe. Someday, you're going to see the stars fall. You're going to see the Lord return. You're going to see his kingdom set up. And you're going to be on the right side of it all. Because you kept your faith in the judge. Sorry. Fainting is losing faith. Mm-hmm. Fainting is stop crying, stop seeking, stop looking, stop waiting, stop depending. When you faint, you've quit. You've lost faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you're going to keep crying, you're going to keep praying. Nobody's going to stop you. Nothing is going to stop you. I've heard stories of those who quit. What a pity. I know of those who've compromised. Gonna just stay in the denomination. Just gonna stay in the denomination. I'm gonna be faithful to the narrative. Why? Well, if I don't, I'll split the church. If I don't, I won't have a job. How am I gonna support my family? I won't have a paycheck. I gotta be faithful to the narrative. I know there's things in there that don't fit my doctrine. I know the Bible says things that go against my theology. But I got to stay in the denomination. That's not crying to God. That's quitting. That's compromising. We've got a wedding coming up. Two young people are going to embark on a great journey. Everyone in here who's gotten married knows that that journey is full of surprises. I mean, it's full of great surprises, glorious things. But when I got married, I didn't know that after the seventh child, my wife's health was going to break. I was very fearful of what could happen if she died. We thought that was definitely a probability at the time. What am I going to do?
What doctor? We went to so many different health professionals and doctors who told us different things and nothing worked. You don't know what's going to happen when you get married. You don't know. There's been thousands of people who got married, had a happy family, and they lost a loved one. They had a little bitty grave. What are you going to do? Persecution came. We've got stories in the scripture and stories in history. Your children are kidnapped so they can be trained in the state school, in the state church. All kinds of incredible, heart-rending events that we've seen through the history, through the ages, where people had a choice. They could faint, they could quit, they could compromise, they could stop praying, they could lose faith. Or they could pray until their last breath was a prayer. They could call out to God, and even slaying them wouldn't stop them from calling out to God. When they were under the altar in heaven, they were still saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, holy and true. We believe you still. How long, Lord?" Not if, how long?
Amen.
And God told them again, a little while. When it's all done, you'll know what I'm saying. It's a little while. Right now, it seems like a long time. It's a little while. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? See, well, I'd like to hear, I wish God would just talk to me. He just did.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
But I want to hear God in an audible voice. Read it out loud then. Mm-hmm. He spake the parable to what end? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's stand together. I hope we've drilled it home hard enough to where when you meet your next challenge, this will be ringing in your ear. Friday night, I'd been meditating on this. I've been thinking about this. Friday night, my wife woke me up. Her heart had been waking her up like 8 times prior. She seriously thought she was either having a heart attack or a stroke. She seriously thought she was dying. Her heartbeat was 151. What do I do? You know what came to my mind? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want that to come to your mind. Amen. Any thoughts before we go to prayer?
Well, I was thinking about it that Jesus said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Will he find anybody still exercising this confidence? So obviously, it won't be a large amount of people, and so it will. It would seem like there's the. If you're looking for a reason or such to continue, it's going to be a pretty slim finding. In other words, if you're looking at circumstances to see should I continue to cry out, it's going to be pretty discouraging. So the only reason you're going to be crying out, if you still are, is because you are fully convinced. So it's going to be dark days.
Yes, I meant to deal with that verse. I'm glad you brought that up. Shall I find faith on the earth? What does he mean? Shall I find people crying day and night unto the Lord? That's what he calls faith. If you're not doing that, does God think you have faith? Obviously, from that context, if you're not doing that, he's going to say there's no faith. He knows The reason he said that, shall I find faith on the earth, is because he knows it's not easy. He knows that it's rare. He knows that the majority of people are going to faint, compromise, adjust to fit in, bow down, take the mark, whatever's required. You got churches left and right bowing to the alphabet mob. Yeah, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? By God's grace, if I'm still here, there'll be faith on the earth. Amen.
And I'm sure that if we could read all the stories of God's plans that were never fulfilled because the person quit praying before the answer came, it would be overwhelming to us. I mean, if he recorded all... I'm sure there's been... Probably the majority of times he's been working to bring deliverance to a person or, you know, guide their life, and things get tough and the person loses faith and gives up, and so he's never able to accomplish what he was hoping to accomplish because of a lack of faith.
Yes.
And oftentimes I think that's probably really close to when the answer is almost there.
Yes. Let's pray.